We have this opportunity tonight for a few short moments to take this last time today and to find rest and peace before we step back out in the world and are in the battle that's before us. And so our brother has prepared a message. The Lord's put it upon his heart. And so I'd ask that you would pray for him and for yourself, that you'd be able to receive that message that the Lord would give to our brother tonight. So I'll give you our brother and elder, Jerry Case.
I think I'm on now. Book of Messiah, page 218 in my book. I'm going to read verse 119 and 120. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yielded to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh the saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child to submit to his father. My prayer, above all other things tonight, is that we be blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit as we get together in this service, as we depart from this place, and as we go out into the world, that it be our guide, our comforter. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. I'm going to turn over to Philippians. I'm going to read a little bit out of the second chapter. Speak more about this Holy Spirit. I want to begin by just reading verse 13 of this second chapter of Philippians. It says, "For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." And I think of that. I think the first time I noticed that, a brother of mine that actually now we work together a lot on Phone Church, and he talked about that. That it's not just about God working on you to help you do the right thing. He works on you so you'll want to do it. He changes the desire that's within you. That desire, which is the natural man, he changes by the power of the Holy Ghost, that you're guided by the Spirit, and that you're able to put off that natural man and become a saint. And so many times in my life I've heard the description that, you know, when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. And you go read all the law of Moses and so forth, and you try to understand that. But let me just summarize in this. If it wasn't for the fact that he satisfied the demands of justice in our behalf, individually, every one of us, if it wasn't for that, there would be no chance for any of us. None. Not one. And there is no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved but the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn to the first verse now of the second chapter of Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. I kind of looked that up to see what bowels happen to mean in that setting, and it kind of means affection. So to reread it, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affections and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. There's a peace that's part of the natural man, that thing that we are, called pride. And as this says it so plainly, we just have to lose it. We have to lose this pride. I think of many scriptures, and in and of themselves, if you pulled them up out of context, you might not understand it fully, but when you keep it in context, it becomes so clear that because of our pride, things like where it says, that it talks about going beyond the mark, that sort of thing. And, you know, in my mind, I question, going beyond the mark, what on earth would be wrong than doing even better? What would be wrong with that? Pride. When you start to look down on somebody else because you feel like you have a better idea, because you follow more fully than they do, pride becomes like a cancer. And it destroys all the body functions. And it brings death. And it's insidious in being a natural man. Pride. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. I know I've told you this story before, but I was called to jury duty. It's something that every so often I get called to go and not do. I'm expressing my frustration because it seems like I always go and spend a couple days in questioning and then they kick me out because I have medical knowledge. I have family that are police officers. For one reason and another, they don't want me on a jury. But the last time I was downtown and I was walking to the courthouse to go through, to not go through jury duty again, there was a man sitting on the sidewalk and he had a little jar and a little sign, and he was asking for help. And you think of the people walking by and some don't even acknowledge him. Your eyes don't meet, you just walk by. Others might even smile and say hi, and some might just lean down, throw in a little money, and keep right on walking. But I was struck because just as I was walking by this man, and I would describe him as a young man, I guess he's probably about maybe Jeremiah's age, and instead of walking around him, instead of getting out money, he literally walked right up in front of him. And he got right down on his knees in front of him, and he just rested back like this. And he started to talk to him. Fulfill ye my joy. That ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. If you think that the world is a big, ugly place and we need to, and we're frightened of it, I would turn it around and say, just how much more should you feel responsible? Just how much more to illustrate Christ's love? Just how much more to become part of Jesus' light in this world? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I think of the importance of those words, how in this life, being a natural man, being good can start to become dependent on whether or not you're going to get away with it. It can become dependent on the idea that, well, no one's going to see. Or maybe you might say to yourself, but I'm not really hurting anyone else. When you hurt the fellowship of the Spirit, when you choose to go by another path than that which is guided by the Holy Spirit, you hurt everyone around you. And it's a substance that's more concrete than your simple behavior. How can I say? There is a joy unspeakable that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. When I stand up here and I speak, I absolutely depend on the fact or on the work of the Holy Spirit to actually take the true meaning into your hearts. As Christ intended those words to rest on you, it happens by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by me. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I wonder sometimes, there's so few words that say so much. I want to talk to you about something that's a little easier than what I just talked about in working out my own salvation. Because I'm a natural man, I see your sins easier than I see mine. So, let's reword it a little. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your brother's salvation with fear and trembling. It's not what it says. I think that one hand washes another. That's true. The body of Christ, we help each other out. We give each other a heads up when we feel like we're walking into danger. We talk to one another. We try to communicate. We try to pull each other back in as much as we can. But, you know, my brother Jose said it so well last week when he repeated Christ's words about when you judge, you gotta get that beam out of your own eye first. Work out your own salvation so that you can see clearly to help your brother. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. When I was, I'm going to say a kid, at 61, I look back when I was 14, 15 years old, and I was a kid. Didn't think so at the time, but I do now. I remember how the Holy Spirit worked on me. I began to go to prayer meeting on a Wednesday night and be different when I left. I couldn't even drive yet, and so I started calling around and looking for a ride on Wednesday night so I could go and be at prayer meeting. For me, that was the type of meeting that seemed to touch me the deepest. It was like a new birth in me. The Holy Spirit just started to change me. Not just my behavior. It began to change my desire. I want to turn to 3 Nephi to talk to you about something else. I told you about a service I used to work to be at. Man, if I could work to be at a service, this one's it. This is the one. If I could have been there. I'll turn it over to 3 Nephi, the 9th chapter. And I think it's important to talk about a few things first. I like to read the scriptures like a novel, so that I understand the background and I know what's happening and who's involved. And here, I might go over, well, I can end up taking too much time here. Over in the fourth chapter, it talks about this incredible, terrible storm and tempest and earthquake and whirlwind that went on for hours, and whole cities were buried in the sea and buried up in the ground. Mountains rose up out of the plain. It's something I can't even imagine. When I'm driving, especially up in Colorado, where you see these enormous mountains, and the stria of the earth are lifted up on their side. And you try to think of the incredible force, the noise, the power that those people experienced at the time, and so much loss as the things of this earth. People lost their families. It said that it was only the more righteous that survived it. And at the end of the tempest, it was overshadowed with a darkness that lasted for 3 days. And it was a darkness where you couldn't even kindle a fire that you could see through it. It was so impenetrable, so dark. And as the people, right at the finish of this, they begin to, across this nation, across this land, they begin to hear the voice of the Lord, and it spoke to them. And until that happened, they were moaning and groaning and crying out in fear and terror. And then they began to hear the voice of the Lord. And what I'm about to read here in this ninth chapter takes place within days of that. Within days. Can you imagine? I think in relation to my life, and when we get together on a Wednesday night, and we kind of have a tradition where, you know, after we've had the opening prayer and we've kind of drawn our minds in by maybe a few of the words of Christ, we start making our list of things and people that we need to pray about, things that we need to pray for. My mind can't even wrap around the list these people must have had. Can you imagine? Did they have homes? Did they have family? What was left? I can't imagine, but what did they... Well, let's read it. I'm going to start reading with verse 5. In verse 4, it names... Christ's servants, his 12 that he selected on this land. It names them, and then I'll start reading at verse 5. And it came to pass that they went forth and stood in the midst of the multitude. And I should tell you, too, that the day before, in the evening, when Christ finished speaking and he saw that the people were getting tired, he ascended into heaven. They saw it. And he said that he was going to be back the next day. And so many of these people worked all night long so they could be there this morning for this service. And it came to pass that they went forth and stood in the midst of the multitude. And behold, the multitude was so great that they did cause that they should be separated into 12 bodies. And the 12 did teach the multitude. Behold, they did cause that the multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth and should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken. Behold, they knelt down again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they did pray for that which they most desired. What was their list like? What would be the thing they would desire most? And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. That's what they desired most. And I think that that's exactly where we need to be. We don't need to have a disaster. We really don't. But we need to be having the primary thing in our desire is the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And when they had thus prayed, they went down unto the water's edge, and the multitude followed them. And it came to pass that Nephi went down into the water and was baptized. And he came up out of the water and began to baptize, and he baptized all them whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass that they were all baptized and had come up out of the water. The Holy Ghost did fall upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And behold, they were encircled about as if it were fire. And it came down from heaven, and the multitude did witness it and do bear record. And angels did come down out of heaven and did minister unto them. And it came to pass that while the angels were ministering unto the disciples, behold, Jesus came and stood in the midst and ministered unto them. And it came to pass that he spake unto the multitude and commanded them that they should kneel down again upon the earth, and also that his disciples should kneel down upon the earth. And it came to pass that when they had all knelt down on the earth, he commanded his disciples that they should pray. And behold, they began to pray, and they did pray unto Jesus, calling him their Lord and their God. I think of this. Another time I often think of it is when the angels came and delivered the message to the shepherds in the fields when Christ was going to be born. I want to be there. Probably many of you have seen this. I think somebody had it on Facebook or something. But there's a little boy, and he's got cerebral palsy, and he's blind. And they let him out onto the stage and gave him a microphone, and they started playing music in the background. And he stepped out, and he started to sing. And he's blind, and he sings. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I believe that's the whole thing. That the Holy Ghost be with us so that we begin to see through the eyes of faith and not the eyes of the natural man. They deceive us. Sorry. These people are seeing him. Verse 20, and it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them and went a little way off. It came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them and went a little way off from them and bowed himself to the earth. And he saith, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their unbelief, it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me, and thou seest that they believe in me, because thou hearest them, and they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all they which shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, and that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. And I think about that, that Jesus, he knelt down on the earth and he prayed for us, for us, for all those that would believe on their words. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, he came unto his disciples, and behold, they did still continue without ceasing to pray unto him. And they did not multiply many words, for it was given unto them what they should pray, and they were filled with desire. They were filled with desire. I think about what brings us to church. And you may misunderstand me, even as I say that. What is it that brings us to church? I believe that the desire created within us by the Holy Ghost should literally drag us to church. That's where we want to be. That's what we want to be doing. But like I said, you may misunderstand me. I've experienced something in my life, and because I've shared and we've talked, I've gotten the opportunity to travel extensively and visit with a lot of people in the name of the Lord. And the idea that church is right here, it's not even the half of it. When the Holy Ghost becomes our guide, when it transforms our heart, we'll find ourselves having church standing at the gas pump. We'll find ourselves having church when you're taking care of somebody in the hospital. Because you begin to speak the words of Christ. And you know, in the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi, it says that that's part of what happens. When we submit ourselves before Him, when we repent and are baptized, and we're given the Holy Ghost, we're able to speak with a new tongue. We speak with the tongue of angels, the words of Christ. Verse 25. And it came to pass that Jesus beheld them as they did pray unto him, and his countenance did smile upon them, and the light of his countenance did shine upon them. And behold, they were as white as the countenance, and also the garments of Jesus. And behold, the whiteness thereof did exceed all the whiteness, yea, even there could be nothing upon earth so white as the whiteness thereof. And Jesus saith unto them, pray on. Nevertheless, they did not cease to pray, and he turned from them again and went a little way off and bowed himself to the earth. And he prayed again unto the Father, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast purified these which I have chosen because of their faith. And I pray for them, and also for them which shall believe on their words, that they may be purified in me through faith on their words, even as they are purified in me. Father, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world because of their faith, that they may be purified in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, that I may be glorified in them. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he came again unto the disciples and began, and behold, he did pray steadfastly without ceasing unto them, or unto him, and he did smile upon them again, and behold, they were white, even as Jesus. And it came to pass that they went again a little way off and prayed unto the Father, and the tongue cannot speak the words which he prayed. Neither can be written by man the words which he prayed. And the multitude did hear and do bear record, and their hearts were open, and they did understand in their hearts the words which he prayed. Nevertheless, so great and marvelous were the words which he prayed that they cannot be written, neither can they be uttered by man. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying, he came again to the disciples and saith unto them, so great faith have I never seen among all the Jews. Wherefore, I could not shew unto them so great miracles because of their unbelief. Verily I say unto you, there are none of them that have seen so great things as ye have seen, neither have they heard so great of things as ye have heard. And it came to pass that he commanded the multitude that they should cease to pray, and also his disciples, and he commanded them that they should not cease to pray in their hearts. They saw things that no one else got to see. They heard things because of their faith that no one else had heard. Things so marvelous that they can't even be repeated or written down. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to turn over to actually, I want to go back to Messiah. Back to where I was before. The first chapter. Before I read it, I want to just say a few things. I was there's a lot going on in this whole world right now, and it's different than it used to be. We literally get up in the morning and we hear it over the airwaves, and it fills our heart with terror. And we're bombarded by it. Seems like it's ever strengthening. Bad news. Bad news. Was sitting in the kitchen in Fort Worth, Texas with my sister Nina Osaka, and she was talking about her life, the things she'd been through and the things that brought her here to this to that home there in Texas where She's they call her grandmother. They're actually her nephew's children that she takes care of every day. That's what she does. And she's here partially because she was needing medical treatment that she couldn't get anywhere over there. And so she's here. And she misses her home. And she misses the church services they have there. She said that they're just marvelous and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when she spoke of it, she kind of finished telling what she was telling, and then she just looked right at us. And she said, "But we must be strong. The things that we see going on is evidence that the world needs God's light. We must be strong. We must be strong to protect our own soul. But we must be strong for the souls of others. For those that, like it says in the fifth chapter of Matthew, those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Those who have been touched by something, something they don't understand. It says that the love of God is spread abroad in the hearts of men by the Holy Ghost. It also says that no one can confess that Jesus is Christ, save by the power of the Holy Ghost. God is busy. There's evidence out there. God is busy. Are we usable? Are we receptive? Are we open to help? Are we His children? Are we children of light? Only if we're filled with His Holy Spirit. I want to turn to where it talks about that in the third book of Nephi. It's also in the sixth chapter of the third book of Nephi. I think I'm wrong. It's in the fifth chapter. Yeah, fifth chapter, and let's go to verse 53. I'm going to start reading with verse 49. It's on page 635 for those of you who are following. Yea, blessed are they which do believe in your words and come down into the depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost and shall receive a remission of their sins. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. They shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. I also want to turn over to Alma, the 19th chapter. I want to read a lot more, but I think I'm just going to read verse 73 through 75. It says, "Do not suppose," this is on page 451. In my book, it's the 19th chapter of Alma, verse 73. Do not suppose, because it hath been spoken concerning restoration, that ye shall be restored from sin to happiness. Behold, I say unto you, wickedness never was happiness. And now, my son, all men that are in a state of nature, or I would say in a carnal state, that are in a gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity, they are without God in the world. And they have gone contrary to the nature of God. Therefore, they are in a state contrary to the nature of happiness. And I speak this because I think that there's a key deception in the world that if you could just only go and do these things that you'd be happy. If I could only have a certain amount of money, I would be happy. My friends go out and they go drinking, you know. Well, you know, if I could only do that, you know, they're obviously happy. Wickedness never was happiness. You literally can't get there from here. It's contrary to the nature of happiness. Joy, true joy, is by the power of God. It's by the power of God. And if you feel like you're losing your joy, something is wrong with your relationship with God. And before you blame it on somebody else, it's about you working out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. Be strong in the Lord. Now back to Messiah. Page 218, chapter 1, verse 119 and 120. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if ye yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon you, even as a child does submit to his father. And I'm going to go ahead and read 121 here too. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And I'm keeping going. Behold, when this time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children. Only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. We were studying in Sunday school this morning in Phone Church out of the 11th chapter of 3 Nephi, and it talked about that the right way and the wrong way. It called them parallel. They never intersect. The one is on the one hand, and the other is on the other hand. And if you find yourself on the wrong path, they didn't bump together. You made a bad choice. You've gotten on the wrong path. You must repent speedily. You know, there's very few things on this earth as uncomfortable as change. But repentance is the very definition of change. It's not about saying I'm sorry and going on as we did before. It's about changing. It's not just about changing your behavior. It's about becoming His, filled with His desire, being filled with light, because in Him there is no darkness. And if we are His, then we will be children of the light. My prayer is for you. I know my kids used to talk to me sometimes about what they felt like was discouragement. They'd go to church and they'd hear about terrible things that are to come, you know. But I'm going to say it. We need God's strength. We need to be strong in Him. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The day will not be on our side, but He will be on our side. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. I want to say just a little testimony about the power of the Holy Spirit. 10 years ago, because of a request that was brought, we put together what now is the nickname is called Phone Church. And to tell you the truth, we tried to talk about how to do it, and in some ways it sounded kind of lame. And the first time we didn't know how to go about it, but out of us that were talking about it across the nation, there was enough of us that had three-way calling. And so we actually, with three-way calling, we created this chain. And that's how we did our first phone church. And none of us could believe it. It was like, no, we can never turn away from this. This was more than an experiment. Because it's not about electricity. It's not about electronics. It's about the connection of the Holy Spirit. I have to say, when I've been blessed because I literally have met almost everybody that's on Phone Church. And so when I'm there in church and we're having Sunday school and so forth, I see every face. I feel every heart. And I believe that it's by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's His blessing. And having said that, the Holy Ghost is powerful and real and dependable. And if you ever want to come to Phone Church, just do it. I know I got a neighbor over the back fence that has trouble sleeping in the mornings. So I'm thinking I'll say, hey, when you got spare time, you can always come over. We start early. My day started early today because of it. But listen to the guidance and the beckoning of the Holy Spirit. Let it guide your walk. We're not a journeying church. Church is going to keep right on going from this moment. We're just going out into the missionary field, all of us. I'll pray for you, you pray for me.